Welcome to ICOSA's Driving Force Radio, where we discover what drives today's leaders. Now, here's your host, Jan Mazzotti.
Good morning, and welcome to Driving Force Radio, where we seek to discover what drives today's leaders. My co-host today is Kristen Tarr, the Managing Director at Business Service Corp. Kristen and I have been doing a show called Community Manners for more than a year, and this show is a little bit different today, Kristen, because we are taking a look this time at global citizenship and how organizations and youth are making a difference globally. And this is going to be a fun show.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it because actually our community is global. And when I am out talking to corporations, that their interest of the new employee that comes in is global minded. But how do you get somebody to be global minded? That's a really difficult description of how to do this. We're going to have a couple guests on today and their youth that will tell you how you can be a global citizen.
I love that. So Kristen, wearing this hat, you are also the co-founder of an organization called CISV. And so tell us what CISV stands for and what this organization does.
Okay, CISV is Children's International Summer Villages. And it was founded in 1951 by a child psychologist in Cincinnati, Ohio, of all places. And this is during the Cold War, and she felt very disturbed by what was happening in our world. The unrest, the unkindness, and not any different than what's happening today.
Right.
And she felt the only way to create peace in our world is through the children. The adults, she kind of gave up on. She said the adults are not going to be able to solve these international problems because once they're adults, the biases have already started, the prejudices have already started. So what she decided to do is gather children from all around the world. At age 11, she felt that was a perfect age to be old enough to be away from home, yet young enough to be free of prejudice and understanding. So she gathered these children. There was approximately 48 children at this village, and she talked to them about or had this four-week program that they learned from each other. She encouraged international friendships, mm-hmm. and it started from that day forth. And we have CISV around the globe. There's about we host a village, about 40 of them, 50 of them every
wow.
single summer and winter, maybe 60 of them when you include the winter programs. And then they have programs for older kids as well. And you hear a little
That's
bit
awesome.
More about them.
That's awesome. Kristen, you know, CISV really does provide this wide range of unique educational group activities and cross-cultural understanding in children and youth and adults, because obviously there are adults there. But how many countries does this involve, and where does this take place? I mean, help us understand this bigger, broader view of
okay,
CISV.
Okay, so there's about close to 70 countries in the world that participate. And in the United States alone, there's, I believe, 22 chapters. And the chapters are basically cities that host different programs. And each of the villages, each of the chapters are required to host a village or a program almost every summer, if not every couple of years. So it's a requirement. So you have to, each particular chapter has to raise all the funding to host these children from all over the world. And Denver just hosted one this past summer. It was a fabulous experience. And, you know, we, our family hosted a delegation from Brazil, which was really exciting and fun. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, Kristen, I know you have a very rich history with CISV. Can you talk a little bit about your engagement with the organization and what you're doing now with them?
Yes, I'll be really brief because I want you to hear from our two guests. And that I started out when I was age 11. And at age 11, I was at an international village, and it was in Leeds, England. And believe it or not, I was the first child in my school, a student in my school that was ever on an airplane. So it was a big deal. It was a little while ago. And then I did a variety of different involvement throughout my teen years. And then I co-founded the chapter here in Denver. I was also a leader. I went down to Brazil and became a leader. And I ran the International People's Project, which is the adult version of CISV, where we gathered business people from all over the world to work on a social project here, community project here locally. Mm-hmm. So I do have a lot of history, and I really believe in this organization because global citizenship is who you are as a person.
It's huge. I agree.
So I am really, really excited to have our two guests here. We have Ian Tarr. I happen to know him quite well. He's my son, but he also was really nice is that he experienced the village experience that I experienced over 30 years ago. And we also have Taylor Garner, and she participated in two different programs, the summer camp, which I think they're calling something different now.
Step up.
Thank you. And then also the interchange program. So thank you for coming today, both of you. So could you each tell us a little bit about your experiences and what program you were involved in? Taylor, you can start.
So this last winter, I was fortunate enough to go on a Step Up or summer camp to Guatemala, and that was extremely exciting. There were eight other countries there with me, and I was there for about 3 weeks. And then again this summer, I was able to go on an interchange, which is a totally different program, to Prague with a delegation of seven, and then I was hosted by a girl who lived in the Czech Republic, and we got to know each other, and it was a brilliant experience.
Great. How about you, Ian? Which one were you involved in?
I went to Luxembourg for a month this past August, and I went there for a month with another boy, an adult leader, and two girls. Uh-huh. And there was, like, Hungary, there was Philippines, China, Japan, Canada, Norway, and more.
Wow. That's so fantastic. And I've been to many of these places, so I'm so excited to hear that. But Taylor, I have to ask you, you know, Guatemala and Prague, you had a very fun summer, it sounds like. But, you know, you guys are still really young. I have to ask this as a mom. Do you guys feel safe when you're over there? How does that work? Are you with a host family? Or are you staying in hotels? What does that look like?
So actually, we are in a delegation, or at least when I was in Guatemala, we were in a delegation of five. So there was a leader, and there's one other girl and two other guys my age. And we got together and really prepared ourselves, because obviously when you're in a different country, it's nerve-wracking and you don't know what to expect because of the stereotypes and all of that. And then, so it is very important, I think, to bond with your delegation. And when you get there, there's a host family that takes you in for about 1 to 2 days. And that's really helpful because they, like, show you the city, and it's nice to get to know people that really, like, understand and live in that country. So.
And then where do you go after the host family?
And then after the host family, we go to the camp or the area where they hold
It's like a
us.
Campsite.
Yes. It's like a campsite.
But it has cabins and things like that. Correct?
So it's not like rustic. It's really nice. And we go there for about 3 weeks, and we're there with eight other countries with four delegates. And we all live together, and we bond, and we eat together. And thankfully, we all speak English, so it's really easy to converse with them. And, I mean, we just make friends, and it's like a family.
How about you, Ian? Did you have a host family, and how did that go for you?
Yeah, I had a host family, and I went with my other delegate the first time, and we met up with, like, people from Netherlands and places like that. And then we bonded before, and we always felt safe. And then we went to the camp, and we did the same thing. And then in the middle of camp, I went with a boy, Ken, from Japan. And then I met up with two girls from Philippines and China, and so there was no problem with the host families. We were all...
So you had a host family at the beginning, and then you were at camp with everybody for 2 weeks, and then you were at host family again.
Yeah.
And that's when you went with Ken from Japan.
I like it.
And then did you make each other feel comfortable while you were at the village?
Yeah, after the second homestay, we switched beds with our other delegates. So every night before I went to bed, there was a boy named Godin who slept above me in a bunk.
And where was Godin from?
China. And I said Wa An to him every night before I went to bed, and that means good night in Chinese. And then he would say good night to me. So it just comforted us, and then we went to sleep.
I love that. So Taylor, tell us how you prepare to go away when you're 14 years old, and you leave for 3 weeks to a month, and you head off into a country you've never been to, and how do you prepare, and how well did you get to know folks as you went along?
So I've never really had a big problem being away from my parents, but it was definitely extremely scary thinking that I was going to be in a totally different country without my parents, without much communication at all. And so it was really hard, and I really had to rely on my leader and my delegates. And then I realized as soon as I got there how all the worries was kind of like a waste of time. And it was so great knowing that those people there were going through the same things. Like, a lot of them hadn't been to a summer camp and had been away from their parents before for too long. And we were all able to really relate to each other. And, I mean, it took maybe 3 days to memorize all 50 of the names of the people. And, I mean, these are hard names to try and pronounce, too. So it's just like a giant family. And it's, I mean, because there's no kind of stereotypes that are like, all of it is away, and like nobody labels you, so it's really easy to just like go up to people and like talk to each other, kind of unlike today's society.
So. Yeah,
and maybe high school.
Did you find that too, Ian?
Yeah.
It was easy to go, or were you scared when you had to get prepared to leave for a month?
I wasn't really scared at all. I was prepared, and I felt like family with my delegation. And once we got there, the worries were just gone. I completely forgot about my family for a month.
And what kind of things did you do for prepare for village? Because the village is a little different than summer camp. What types of things did you have to put together?
Yeah, we had to prepare for our national night, which is like a night to show off our country. And we had to prepare a dance, which we did evolution of dance. And then we had to prepare a meal, and we had mac and cheese and hot dogs.
Classic.
That's perfect.
And then we made goodie bags, and that had like beef jerky and bouncy balls to show like everything that our country loves. Like, I love beef jerky. We finally had to prepare booklets, which just showed a little bit more about ourselves and our country.
So each delegation has a booklet that shows about, so the kids could take it home and share with the family. And he has booklets from 11 different countries all over the world, so he really continues on the experience with them. So I went to village a long time ago, and I still have some vivid memories of experiences that I have and friendships that I made. What about all of you? What can you give me a friendship that you made, or that was really important, or an activity that you did that you really remember?
My best friends were probably from Brazil, Guatemala, and Finland. And obviously these are nowhere really close to us. Yeah. So it's really hard and being away from them. So I Skype them almost every week. And it's really nice to stay in contact, and nothing really changes between us, even though we're back at home. And one of the activities that really I will probably remember forever is a disability activity where we were all given a different disability, and it ranged from like Siamese twins to not being able to use your legs to not being able to use your hands. And I was given muteness, or not the ability, I was not able to speak for the entire day. And it really, it was an extremely eye-opening experience, because you're always sympathetic towards people with disabilities, but you never really know what they're going through and how hard it is until you actually experience that. And so I thought it was like a great way to really feel for those kind of people. And it was, I mean, I'll remember it forever.
Yeah, sure, sure.
And I remember you telling me a story about going to, well, Guatemala is one of the poorest countries in the world.
Yeah.
And you went to a, they call it a nutrition center or a nutrition place that you went to help some children. Can you share that a little bit?
Well, yeah, I went with an organization called Educa while I was there in Guatemala. So it was all of the campsite came with us, and all the kids came with us. And we went to a really, really poor town called Comapa in Guatemala. And we went with Educa, which helps malnourished malnourished children. And we went there, and it was I mean, it was, I was, for a second, you just have to, like, take it in, because when we first got there, we saw their drinking source, and it was just a lake. And, I mean, it was not filtered, it was not cleaned or anything, and you would see the women going out with their water jugs, and they'd fill it up, and you'd be like, well, aren't you going to get sick from that? And, I mean, that's their reality, so it's really hard. And also, we we made sandwiches before we went there, and then we gave them out when we got there. And it was amazing because they would only eat about a quarter of the sandwiches, and we'd be like, what's the matter? You can have all of it. And they'd be like, I'm sorry, I have to save it for my family. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like you're never going to forget something like that. Yeah. It's just like my reality. I mean, that's not even close to it. Like, yeah. I take my faucet for granted all the time, and I never think about how lucky I yeah. am.
And that creates a global citizen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear what you're saying. When I was in Africa, it was the same thing about sandwiches and food, and they would save it too. And it's tough to watch it, but it makes you appreciate everything you have here. Ian, what about you? What was the most moving part of your journey?
I made a lot of friends, but there was one activity that I'm probably never going to forget about, and it And it's changed my mind forever.
Tell us.
And so one morning, I got woken up a little bit before everyone else, and they put me in another room. And then...
with some other people.
Yeah, and there was 12 people there with me, and I was wondering what was going on. And then at breakfast, I went down, and we had, like, the best meal they made the whole... It wasn't the best, but it was awesome. And we looked at, and we were separated, and we looked at the 36 others, and they just had small pieces of stale bread. And then for the rest of the activities that we did, it was just, we always had the advantage, and they always had the disadvantage. And it made me think about the unfortunate people and how I can help them.
So what was the name of that activity?
It was called Rich and Poor.
So the one group was rich, and the other group was poor, and you were actually experiencing it.
Yeah.
Wow.
These are amazing lessons to be learning. And even as an adult, I haven't experienced things like that. But you do see it as you travel internationally, Kristen.
Yeah. And at age 11 and 14.
And 14, I think it's so important. And Ian, you know, you're only 11. And you've traveled. You've been away from home for a month. Were you ready at age 11 to head out? Because I think there's probably a lot of parents saying, I am not putting my 11-year-old on an airplane and sending him to a foreign country for a month. Were you ready? And what was the most significant thing you learned about yourself?
I think I was completely ready. I was really comfortable around my delegates, and I was ready to go. And it didn't really seem like I was leaving until I actually sat down on the seat.
In the plane?
Yeah, and we got on the plane. It was just like, oh, I'm going. And then when we got there, there was so much to do and so many people to meet. I was just so excited that I was so happy I was there. And I learned about myself that if you're homesick or you had a bad day or you're not feeling good, just go to sleep and it'll solve the problem when you wake up.
That's a good plan. Good plan.
What about you, Taylor? I mean, being away from home was one thing, but did you learn anything about yourself?
Oh yeah, I learned that. I think before I went on my summer camp, especially, I was not as grateful for what I had, and I always took things for granted. And I was fortunate enough to realize that, I mean, it's horrible to, you know, wake up every morning and want and want and want. And I realized that what I have now, I mean, I couldn't ask for a better life now compared to what I saw back in Guatemala. And so I definitely did come home a different person, and even the camp taught me not to judge people or put people in a box, like, based on their stereotypes from their countries. Like, Germany we always see as, like, Nazis and stuff like that. And never once did that come up, or did I think that when I was talking to the German delegates there. I mean, it was just like talking to your neighbor. I mean, there was no differences, and so I think that's really what changed me.
That's amazing. So how do you keep in touch with all these kids that you've met, Ian? What have you been doing?
Well, I'm on Facebook, and I'm like in touch with like almost everyone on that. And then I a month ago or something earlier, and yeah, I got a Skype account, and I was talking to my friend from the Philippines, and then my mom called me down, and she said, "Hey, do you want to make brownies?" And I was like, "Okay." So, and I didn't want to just hang up on her, so I just brought my iPod down, and then I set it up, and then I made cookies with her.
That's fantastic. And it's the other side of the world.
Yeah.
Different, obviously different time zones, and you made brownies with the lady in the Philippines.
And I think, if I remember, is that she just got off of school, the girl, and it was the day before, because it's 13 hours difference.
13 hours.
So they were in different time zones and different places, different days. And they were baking cookies together. So it was kind of a fun experience. What about you? How do you stay in touch?
Oh, I am constantly on Facebook and Skype at least once a week. I Skype a friend from Guatemala or Canada or Peru. And I mean, I never really talk much to my friends here on Facebook because I know I can talk to them in person. And so I mostly use Facebook and Skype to talk to those people. And I mean, we still talk about the memories we had even 6 months ago, and we're able to relate, and it's definitely
pretty amazing. Yes. Now, remember when I went 30 years ago, the only thing that I had, Jan, was a one of those post papers, and it took about 3 or 4 weeks to get there, and then 3 or 4 weeks. So I would hear from my friends maybe every 6 weeks.
Sure.
And here they are walking around the house talking to
with iPods.
It's a pretty different experience.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
So, have you ever heard the term global citizenship?
Yeah.
And do you think that you are a global citizen at age 11 and 14? Taylor, do you want to?
I think that from my experiences I had both in the Czech Republic and Guatemala, I'm definitely a global citizen because I've really understood other people's perspectives and their culture, and I think that's really what makes a person a global citizen.
And how do you think it's different at school? Do you look at people differently at school that maybe don't look exactly like you?
Definitely. Like, I've definitely learned not to be judgmental, and so I've definitely been able to make more friends and looked beyond their physical traits and even their personalities and really look into who they are as a person.
Yeah, that's really great. What about you, Ian?
Yeah, I think I'm a global citizen because when I have a friend in Israel who was there at camp with me, and when I heard about the air attacks, I was just hoping that she would be okay, and then I asked her on Facebook, and she was fine,
which is really good.
Yeah, that is really good.
Because one of the real important aspects of what Doris Allen, the founder of CSV, really wanted to take across, it's not about places on a map, abstract places on a map that you learn in geography. You can pinpoint countries that they have friends in.
Yeah.
And it just completely changes the scope of who you are and what your goals are for you as a person or us as a country.
Well, and here's another thing. I think so many people don't even know that there were attacks going on in Israel. And here's an 11-year-old young man who's very well-versed, who knows that there's something going on in Israel. I bet you if you ask 50 kids that were age 11, the majority wouldn't have a clue. Yeah. And here he is concerned about another human being in a different country. I have to ask, just because you both are amazingly well-versed for as young as you are, and obviously on the path to becoming these fantastic global citizens, where do you want to go with this when you get older? What do you want to do?
Go ahead, Taylor.
I definitely want to travel when I grow up because I think that it's probably the most important thing a person can have is just the intellectual of different countries and their cultures. So I think it kind of something like with the USAID and going to different countries and seeing living there and seeing what maybe those people need, like a well or something like that, and then finding the money and being able to teach them how to use it so that they can live a better life with cleaner water, or something along those lines.
Absolutely. How about you, Ian?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I kind of want to, like, go around to places that aren't very fortunate, and I just want to help them so much, and I want to do that when I grow up.
I love that. You two are fantastic. I am so happy that you're here in our communities and working in our communities. And certainly keep getting this word out, because this is fantastic, yeah. Kristen.
CISV is it means to global citizenship. And it's open to a variety of kids in the Denver metro area and all these cities. So please take a look at CISV.org.
CISV.org, CISVUSA.org, or Denver.CISVUSA.org. Mm-hmm. And there are opportunities for 2013, so check them out. Kristen, where can people learn more about Business Service Corps?
BusinessServiceCorps.com, CORPS. And, yes, so you learn more about global citizens on the corporate level.
Perfect. Ian Tarr, thank you for being with us. Taylor Garner, thanks for being with us.
Yeah.
And Kristen, as always, fantastic.